Let's bow our heads and ask God, okay? Eternal God, creator of heaven and earth, God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, we come before you today, this day, this last day, the eighth day, with we need to know and understand. We ask that you guide our thoughts, guide our mind, guide us through your words. Teach us by and through your words. You are our teacher, and we are learning, and you have written down for centuries what it is that you want us to do. And we are here to call upon you and asking you to guide our hearts, guide our minds, guide our the innermost part of us, that we may be able to live what the Torah tells us, and live within the Torah and be part of it, that we may be able to be holy and just before you, that we can come and praise you and knowing that all mankind someday will know and understand, as you have said within your word, that there will come a time when all people around the world will know who you are, and that you will know, they will know you are their God. So we praise you and guide us today, guide us this afternoon, and guide us in our understanding. We praise you, in the name of your Son, Yeshua Mashiach. Amen. You don't have to turn here because I'm going to read this particular part in the book of Numbers. For those who do not know, the book of Numbers, 29th chapter, has a tremendous amount of information on the details of exactly what we do and what God requires to be done on the holy days. But today is the eighth day. And Numbers 29, verse 35, is on the eighth day you shall have a sacred assembly. You shall do no customary work. You shall present a whole offering, an offering made by fire, a sweet aroma unto the Lord. One bull, one ram, seven lambs, and in their first year, without blemish. And the grain offering, or the minhah offering, as it would be in Hebrew, and their drink offering, and for the bull, and for the ram, and for each one of the lambs. And their number, according to the ordinance. Also, one goat is a sin offering, besides the regular whole offering, or the burnt offering, whole offering. I'm so used to reading whole offering when I see those words, but your Bible is not going to say that word. And the grain offering, or the minhah offering, and its drink offering. Okay, with that being said, you've noticed that those have been with us for quite a while. Notice it always has one sin offering. Why is there a one sin offering on a holy day? Why has it come out? Why does God want us to do that? Have you ever wondered that? Well, it's sort of like remember where it all began. The reason why you are here, the reason why you would be in the dwelling place where God dwells, and the very reason why God himself will come down and dwell amongst us is because he wants us to remember what it is that brought us to this point. So you have that one goat of sin offering for us to remember. We're not supposed to forget, right? We're supposed to remember what it was all about. And so we do the whole offering, the sin offering on all the holy days. We don't. He commands us to do that so that we may remember. So when we do read those scriptures and you say, why is a sin offering? Just it's to bring us to memory, and basically for the Day of Atonement, because that's what it's all about. And that sin offering lets us be able to clean and know that we got purified, we got clean, we became holy, we became sanctified by God because of that sin offering. So it's a really good thing that God always has that. Otherwise, if it's just once, we would say, oh, yeah, okay, goodbye. But he wants us to keep in mind, he wants to keep remembrance of what it costs, what it costs for us to be here, costs for us to be within his world, costs for us to understand his language, understand what he has to say. Now I want to turn for a moment to Isaiah 32. I'm going to take in portions of this, of Isaiah today. Remember I said before, the Torah, the teachings, the learning, we have the main Torah, which is the first five books. Then the application of the Torah, as Daniel has said before, if you remember, well, he said it with a congregation, but basically the prophets are where the application of the Torah took place. And sometimes they did good, they did, and sometimes they didn't do so good. And kind of leads us to look back on our lives and see, well, there's sometimes in our lives in connection with God, guess what? Sometimes we do good, and sometimes we don't do too good. And we have to kind of go back and refresh ourselves. Isaiah 32. Behold, a king will reign in righteousness The princess will rule with justice. A man will be as a hiding place from the wind and a cover of the tempest or shelter, as a river of water in a dry place, as a shadow in the great rock in a weary land. The eyes of those who see will not be dim. Talk about a little bit about that today, this afternoon. And the ears of those who hear will listen. Also the heart of the rush will understand knowledge, and the tongue of the stammerer, like me, will be ready to speak plainly. Well, that's a promise, all right? Now, I mentioned yesterday or the day before when I was talking, I says, you know, I can pronounce words wrong, I read them wrong, I got a dyslexia problem, it's really hard for me, I get words all messed up. And he says, hey, there'll come a time you're not going to have that problem anymore. So I have to wait, and I'm willing to wait. But as best I can, I'll walk this way and think this way and teach this way. But we have this king we're talking about, and I talked about the first day that that is the day when the Messiah actually takes control. He is the King of Kings. That's why it's a holiday. That particular first day of the Feast of Tabernacles is because he now is in control. We won't get to Revelations today on that subject matter, but be very careful how I'll read it. The very wording of, now the kingdoms of this world have become the kingdoms of our Lord and the Lamb. And the day, first day of, but this pictures the first day of the trumpets. I mean, tabernacles. And of course, within that also, there's an awful lot of meanings that are also within the Torah. Relationship, and I talked about that too. One of them has to do with not only the tabernacle itself, but the temple. And he moved in the temple on the first day, the days of these trumpets. Verse 16, same chapter. Then justice will dwell in the wilderness, righteousness remain in the fruit of the field, fruitful of the field. The work of righteousness will be peace, and the effect of righteousness, quiet and awesome forever. My people will dwell in a peaceful habitation, in secure dwellings, in a quiet resting place. We're coming to that point. Not just the kingdom of God who has the people there, but all mankind will come and they'll be dwelling in a resting place. And there will be no one in there that does not want to rest. Let's quickly go to Ezekiel 37, very famous part. But it will cover some of what I want to talk about later on. We know this one, Ezekiel 37, it's the dry bones. Now these are the dry bones of Israel. I want you to listen to some of the words. Very, very fascinating. And he comes in here, Ezekiel 37, and the hand of the Lord came upon me and brought me out in the spirit of the Lord, and set me down in the midst of the valley. It was full of bones. Well, you know, that's quite a picture, right? Full of bones. And now he turned to Ezekiel, and he said, verse 3, Son of man, or Ezekiel, you're my prophet. Can these bones live again? Of course, you know, at this point in time in Ezekiel's life, he said, you know, I don't. He had become a very humble, or become humble at this particular point in his life. Every time you become a prophet, you've got to be dealing with humbleness. You're not going to deal with haughtiness. You're going to become humble. You're going to wait for him to give you the answer. God likes to ask us questions, doesn't he? He really does. When he asks questions, we're not quite sure whether we should answer it or not. If we say, well, whatever the Lord says, I'll do. Well, now, you got to be careful with the questions. What did he ask Peter? Rise, eat! Oh, no, no, I can't do that. You mean you disobeyed the voice of God? No, I can't do that. Yeah, you did. Now you want to picture yourself. Oh, he didn't make it. Okay, I'll get one more chance. Eat! Oh, yeah, please don't let me eat! He says, all right. He pulls back up again. He says, well, you know, how am I going to get that guy to eat this? I'll get him really, really hungry, like he's going to die. That'll do it. That'll convince him. Okay, eat. He says, no, I can't do that. You disobeyed him three times. So you got to be careful of the questions God asks. So here we have Ezekiel's very careful now. Remember, if you know the story about Ezekiel, he did ask questions, and or he answered some questions. Oops, wrong answer, Ezekiel. Here we go down here. Now, again, he said to me, verse 4, prophesy to these bones and say to them, dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. Thus says the Lord. Now, here's what Ezekiel is turning to the bones. Now, Ezekiel is saying to the bones, thus says the Lord to these bones, surely I will cause breath to enter into you, and you shall live. I will put a soon on you and bring flesh upon you, cover your skin, and put breath into you, and you shall live. Then you shall know that I am Yahweh, your eternal, your creator. Okay, indeed. What did Ezekiel do? Verse 7, so guess what? I prophesied, and I was, verse 7, and commanded, and as I prophesied, there was a noise. Suddenly, a lot of bones rattling all over the place. Whoop, there's a bone. Oh, yeah, clack, clack, wrong. Whoops, that bone goes over there. That bone goes over here. I almost got to hear the rattling going on. Now, you know, we think about a lot of bones. Sometimes you think a lot of bones, we're talking human bones here, little skeletons. We don't like skeletons, right? Well, Ezekiel saw an awful lot of them. And they weren't all together. They were all kind of like scattered all over the place. It's kind of a funny story, but lo and behold, he did it. He heard all that noise, and oh my. And then he says, okay. And the bones came together, bone to bone. You know that old spiritual... what's that song? These dry bones, these dry bones. Yeah, it's been a long time since I heard that one. So, getting old. Anyway, so indeed it looked, he continued on. So look, they saw, verse 8, the shoes and the flesh came upon them, and the skin covered them, but there were no breath. Now, he already had said, I will do and say exactly what you tell me to do. Everything happened except one thing. The breath has not come. All right? He's waiting for the, you know, what are they going to do? He said, are they going to live or not going to live? You know, everything's all together. And then he said to me, prophesy to to the breath, prophesy, son of man, and say to the breath, thus says the Lord God, come from the four winds. Four winds from the four corners. O breathe, and breathe on these slain, that they may live. So what do you think Ezekiel did? Okay. He would have had, just to kind of picture it for a moment, all right? He says, so I had prophesied as he commanded me, and breath came to them, and they lived and stood up on their feet as an exceedingly great army. Now remember how we do the lulav? East, south, west, and north. Ezekiel had to prophesy, command the east wind, command the south wind, command the west wind, and command the north wind. Because where's the house of Israel? Scattered all over the place. So it's a kind of a calling. but not a calling unto the Feast of Tabernacles, not a calling unto the kingdom of God, but a calling to the resurrection, bringing forth dead. You see the kind of picture a little bit here? Kind of a neat little picture. And it's always four winds, four ways, four quarters. That's connection also to his altar. Verse 11, then he said to me, Son of man, these bones are the whole house of Israel. Yes, indeed, the bones are dry, our hope, and they say, our bones are dry, our hope is lost, and we ourselves are cut off. That's a prophetic statement, by the way. When were they cut off? They were cut off when God took the northern tribe of Israel and cut them off. So this is a prophecy way in the future. I don't know how far in the future, but it's far enough in the future that all those who have died in the past have been scattered around the world. They will be drawn back again. Life will be given unto them because they were cut off. They will understand what that cut off, we understand what that cut off means. But here, they'll understand it. Therefore, prophesy, verse 11, 12, rather, and say to them, thus says the Lord, behold, O my people, I will open your graves and cause you to come up out of your graves and bring you into the land of Israel. So they're not in the land of Israel here. These bones are not in the land of Israel. So prophesy, prophesying to them that they are going to be resurrected back up. They're going to be resurrected and brought to the house or the land we call Israel. We also know by the prophecy that was given to Abraham and Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, that the land of Israel will expand and get bigger from the Euphrates rivers all the way to the coast. We know it's going to get big. So God says, although they don't have it yet, Abraham, they will have it. Because that's an awful lot of people got to come, right? They'll take both sides of Jordan. They'll take the southern side. They'll take the north side. They'll take the west side. They'll take it all because God has already got the boundary lines all set for them. Then you shall know that I am the Lord, that I have opened your graves and my people and brought you up from your graves. And I will put my spirit in you. See, the Spirit of God is not there yet. Now, when he resurrects them up, brings them together, brings them into the land that he promised Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the ones that are scattered in the north, the south, the east, the west, scattered to all four corners of the earth in the world, lo and behold, he's going to come up and he says, then I'll put my spirit in you, and you shall live, and I will place you in your own land, that you should know that I, the Lord, has spoken it and has performed it, says the Lord. That's a pretty big promise, isn't it? It's kind of like out of our focus of the human realm to figure out, oh, where are they and who are they and how long is it going to take place? When is it going to happen? We're not talking about people. We're not talking about the blowing of the trumpet and the dead in Christ rise. We're not talking about the blowing of the trumpet and those who are alive are changed instantly. We're talking about those in the scattered of four corners. And I'm going to do something with them first. Because see, before you, if you're going to be called in the first resurrection, you already have the Spirit of God dwelling in you. These don't. But let's just know a little bit of picture where God says, I'm going to resurrect the dead. And we'll get that this afternoon message. And that's what this day pictures. There's two things this day pictures. One of them is this, the resurrection of the dead. And then something will happen during their lifetime. How long that will be, that's up to God and how long it's going to be. But I want to give this part in mind. There is so much hope. When you read Ezekiel 37th chapter, you're talking about an unbelievable hope of people who have been scattered, who do not, they were cut off. They're cut off from God. They were cut off from the services are cut off from everything that had association with the eternal. They were cut off. Why? Well, I don't go back to explain that, but they didn't want to obey God. Didn't mean God didn't love them. It doesn't mean that God's not going to love them. But we see here a picture. The Spirit of God not come onto them until after the flesh comes back on them. And lo and behold, then he says, now I'll breathe my breath. Okay? The paralleling of why we breathe in and breathe out, because without our air, without air being there, what happens to us? We're dead. All right? That's a direct parallel to what the Spirit of God is. If the Spirit of the Eternal God has not come into our lives, we are as if we are dead men walking or dead people walking. There is no life in us without the Spirit of God. All right? Have I lost anybody so far? Okay. I want to go to one more place. I think it's just move on. Isaiah 33. I kind of like this. I'm going to read part of Isaiah 33. Isaiah 33. I asked my wife, she says, what songs do you want to sing? And this is the one I said, I want you to sing. Have the one that says, Arise, O Lord. Yes, Moses said that. We know what it means. But in Isaiah 33, verse 10, I have to kind of read the rest of them to get the picture, but he says, now I will arise. It's like he's going to take charge. Now I will be exalted. Now I will lift myself up. Isaiah's make a statement, you, meaning God, shall conceive the shaft, you shall bring forth stubble, your breath as fire will devour. That should devour them, not you. Verse 12. And the people shall be like burns of lime, burnings of lime, like thorns cut up. They shall be burnt in the fire. We'll talk about a little bit more later on this afternoon, or where this is heading. All right? Here, you hear afar off what I have done. You who are near, acknowledge my might. The sinner in Zion is afraid. Fearfulness has seized the hypocrisy, the hypocrites. Whom shall, this is what I'm going to, who shall still, remember that Jeff mentioned the word dwelling? Who shall dwell in a devouring fire? You cannot live in fire. It doesn't exist. You cease to be. You become what Jesus was told, that you would become ashes under his feet. All right, that's the next one. Who among us shall dwell in an everlasting burning? You can't dwell, you can't live in everlasting fire. You understand? We'll get to the New Testament here, not today, but later on. I'm looking back here at what the prophets have said. I'm looking back here what the prophets were told to say. They have to look at the prophets, and their top prophets are quoting whom? Themselves? Some famous guy someplace? Some unknown theological school? No, they're quoting the Creator of heaven and earth. All right. Now, verse 15. He who walks righteously and speaks uprightly, he who despises the gain of oppressors, whose gestures with his hands refusing bribes. You know, no, get out of here. I don't want anything to do with you. And about ready to send the guy to prison because he bribed him, you know. He really can't take that. Who stops his ears from hearing bloodshed and shuts his eyes from seeing evil. Now, you remember what Dave talked about? You know, Dave DeFever? He says, what you see, right? Oh. Did he just come up with that one? Or is he kind of telling us something? Or is God through him telling us something? So we do must watch what we watch. We must watch and hear. I think Jesus says, be careful how you hear things. Because you can hear deception. Be careful what you see and how you see. What you see. He will dwell on high. His place of defense will be the fortress of rocks. Bread will be given to him, and his water be sure. Isn't that kind of nice?